Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Ghost Beach by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is the first episode I'm recording in my new place in the room that I'm kind of setting up to work on projects. So I'll be able to have the Wacom tablet all set up all the time and the mic set up and green screen and everything. So we'll see how that goes. I was just sitting here listening to Giovanni Giorgio on the old Low Budget FM podcast with Mike Chaffee, brought to you by Lax Dude, and then I was like, fuck it, I need to record some Goosebumps, even though my voice is kind of going out, and drinking a clear American strawberry, zero calorie carbonated fruit beverage with vodka of the gods from Trader Joe's. Anyway, enough rambling. Chapter 12 of Ghost Beach on Dune Reads Goosebumps. My heart thudded as we stepped into the darkness. Our sneakers slid on the smooth, damp cave floor. I nearly choked on the sour, musty smell. "Hey!" I cried out as Terry grabbed my arm. "The light! Look!" she whispered. It flickered near the back of the cave. Staying close together, we took a few steps toward it. Our sneakers squished loudly. The air grew warmer.
It's a tunnel!" I stammered, hoping the voice was right.
The cave narrowed, then curved away. The dim light flickered from around the corner, from somewhere deep in the cave. I swallowed hard.
"Let's just go in a little farther," I urged.
Terry lingered behind me. "That tunnel looks creepy," she uttered in a tiny voice. I heard a soft, chittering sound somewhere up ahead.
"We've come this far," I urged. "Might as well go in..."
What the fuck is that voice I was doing?
"Might as well go in just a little bit farther."
I think that was it. Following the light, we lowered our heads and stepped into the tunnel. I could hear the drip, drip, drip of water nearby. The air grew even warmer, steamy. The tunnel curved, then suddenly widened into a deep, round chamber. I stopped as I heard the chittering sound again, a soft, flapping, fluttering sound growing louder.
"What's that noise?"
Terry cried. Her shrill voice echoed against the cave walls. Before I could answer, the fluttering became deafening clatter.
"No!"
My eyes drowned out by the terrifying roar. I raised my eyes in time to see the black cave ceiling crumble and fall over us.
Chapter 13. I really hope I didn't already read this shit, but there's a chance that I did, motherfuckers.
No!
I was still wailing as I hit the wet cave floor. I covered my head with both hands and waited for the crashing pain. The clatter swirled over me. A shrill whistle rose up over the sound. My heart thudding, I raised my eyes and saw the bats. Thousands of black bats flapping and fluttering, swooping back and forth across the chamber, darting low, then twisting away. The ceiling hadn't fallen. By entering their chamber, Terry and I had wakened the bats. They whistled and hissed as they swooped wildly over our heads.
Let's get out of here,
I cried, helping Terry to her feet.
I hate bats.
This is why Brad and Agatha warned us away,
Terry cried, shouting over the roar of fluttering wings. We both turned to leave, but the flickering light at the far end of the chamber made us stop. Just a few feet farther, if we made our way a few feet deeper into the cave, we could solve the mystery and never have to think about this frightening cave again.
Come on,
I shouted. I grabbed Terry's hand and tugged. The bats swooped and darted over our heads, chittering and whistling. We ducked our heads as we ran under them, to the back wall of the chamber, into another narrow, curving tunnel. I pressed my back against the tunnel wall and edged forward, still holding Terry's hand. The pale light grew brighter. We were getting close. The tunnel opened into another large chamber, about the size as the first chamber. Same size as the first chamber. Terry and I had to shield our eyes. The entrance glowed with a bright, flickering light. I took a few steps in, giving my eyes a chance to adjust to the light. Then I saw them, candles. Dozens of short, white candles perched around the chamber on rock ledges. I'm just going to assume this is the exact same chamber that the cool vampire teenagers hang out in Lost Boys. And not the third or fourth goddamn Lost Boys fucking movie I had to review for Comics Online. That abortion. Anyway, all of them lighted, all of them flickering.
"So that explains it," I whispered. "Flickering candlelight."
It doesn't explain anything, Terry protested, shadows dancing over her pale face. Who put the candles here? We both saw the man at the same time, an old man with long, stringy white hair and a beak-like nose. He sat hunched over a crude table made from a log of driftwood. Pale and terribly thin, his worn shirt hung loosely on him. His eyes were closed. Shadows played over him. He seemed to flicker in and out with the candlelight, looking remarkably like Dr. Satan, as if he were part of the light, part of the ghostly light. Terry and I froze, staring at him. Did he see us? Was he alive? Was he a ghost? His eyes opened, large, dark eyes sunk deep in their sockets. He turned to us, stared back at us with those frightening, sunken eyes. Slowly, he curled a bony, gnarled finger. Come here. His voice was a dry whisper, dry as death. And before we could move, he rose up from the chair and began to come for us. This is the latest I've ever recorded, and I'm afraid that my voice will go out right quick, but, oh well.
Chapter 14.
I wanted to run, but my feet felt glued to the floor, as if the ghostly figure were holding me there, keeping me from escaping. Terry let out a low cry. She bumped me from behind. I think she had stumbled, but her bump got us both moving. I took one last glance at the pale, flickering figure. His bony frame shimmered in the eerie candlelight. He started toward us, his mouth twisted into a strange grin. The dark eyes gazed at us blankly, like black buttons on a snowman. Then we turned and ran the fuck out of there. Terry sprinted ahead of me through the tunnel, her sneakers slapping the wet floor, slipping and stumbling. I struggled to keep up with her. My legs felt as if they weighed 1,000 pounds. The blood pulsed so hard at my temples, I thought my head might explode.
Go, go, go!
I shouted all the way back. I turned and glanced back. He was coming after us.
No!
I screamed. I shouldn't have turned back. I stumbled over a jagged rock and went sprawling onto the floor. I landed hard on my elbows and knees. Gasping for breath, I spun around in time to see the ghost's bony hands reach out for my throat.
What do you think the chances are, since it's only halfway through the book, that he's not going to attack him, but he's just a misunderstood old man?
15 is the chapter I'm reading now. I let out a terrified howl, scrambled to my feet, and lurched away from his bony, outstretched hands. A few feet up ahead, Terry watched in horror, her mouth open, her eyes wide in fright. I heard the ghost groan as he reached out with both arms. Somehow, I found the strength to run. Terry and I both running now through the narrow, curving tunnel, through the bat chamber, silent and empty now, to the mouth of the cave. And then we were slipping and sliding, scrambling down the dew-wet boulders, down, down to the rocky, moonlit beach. I turned back once. I couldn't help it. The cave opening was dark now, I saw. Darker than the night sky. We ran along the shore, then turned into the woods. We were both breathing hard, panting loudly as we reached the cottage. I pushed open the door, stumbled in after Terry, then slammed it hard behind us.
Terry! Jerry! Is that you?
Oh, sorry, it's Agatha.
Terry? Jerry, is that you? Agatha's voice floated from the kitchen, sounding completely different than she did in the previous part. She came in wiping her hands on a checkered dish towel. Well, she demanded, did you find it? Actually, I think that she did just sound like me.
Huh?
I gaped at her, still struggling to catch my breath. Did we find the ghost? Is that what Agatha was asking? Did you find it? Agatha repeated. Did you find the beach towel? She stared at us in bewilderment as Terry and I burst out in relieved laughter. I couldn't get to sleep that night. I kept picturing the ghost, his stringy white hair, his sunken eyes, his bony fingers reaching out to me, and I kept wondering if Terry and I had done the right thing by not telling Agatha and Brad about him.
We only get in trouble for going into the cave, I had told
my sister.
They probably won't believe us anyway, Terry added.
And why shouldn't we get them upset?
And why should we get them upset? I said.
They've been so nice to us, and we went into the cave when they told us not to.
So we hadn't told them about the frightening ghost surrounded by candles in the creepy cave. And now, as I lay in bed tossing and turning, my mind tossed and turned, too. Okay, so your mind's tossing and turning, but you're tossing and turning. So really, if you toss and turn, your mind tosses and turns with it, being as the mind is, I guess, a synonym you're using for brain or... oh, God, this is a horrible aside. And I wondered if Terry and I should confess to our cousins what we had done and seen. Despite the summer heat, I pulled the covers up to my chin and stared out the window. Behind the billowing curtains, pale white moonlight shimmered brightly. The moonlight didn't cheer me. It reminded me of the ghost's pale skin. Suddenly, my troubled thoughts were interrupted by a soft tapping. Tap, tap. I sat up quickly. The sound was repeating. Tap, tap. Tap, 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 tap. And then I heard a ghostly whisper. Come here. Tap, 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 tap. Come here. And I knew that the ghost had followed me home. Oh, no. When we were kids, we used to play in this canyon that was just south, maybe west of the Nazarene school, Point Loma Nazarene University campus. And there was these caves on the cliff. And one day we are exploring the caves. And this is maybe like 9 or something like that. And we tied ropes around ourselves in case there was a cave in or something like that. And there were sleeping bags in there. And luckily no homeless people at the time, because that is rape right there. But yeah, there was like a homeless guy's pack and this and that, and we had the flashlight, and there was inside the pack was a whatever they hand you out when you go to a funeral, not a leaflet, but like the memorial little goddamn whatever, it's a pamphlet thing. And it was fucking weird and creepy, and it was for like a teenage girl, and it was sad and weird and stuck with me. Anyway, chapter 16. Come here. Sitting up in the bed, rigid with fear, I stared helplessly as a face rose up in the moonlit window. First, I saw a pale tuft of hair, then a broad forehead, a pair of dark eyes gleaming blue in the bright light. Nat! He grinned at me through the window. Nat, it's you! I cried, gratefully jumping out of bed, pulling my robe over my pajamas and lurching to the window. He giggled. I peered out. Sam had Nat on his shoulders and was lowering him to the ground. Louisa, in white tennis shorts and a loose-fitting gray sweater, stood beside him.
What are you guys doing out here?
I stammered.
You scared me to death!
We weren't trying to scare you, Sam replied, his hands on Nat's shoulders. We saw you and your sister running on the beach. We wondered what happened.
You won't believe it, I exclaimed.
I realized that my voice was probably retarded in carrying up to Brad and Agatha's room. I didn't want to wake them. I motioned to the three kids.
Come into my room. We can talk in here.
Sam lifted Nat up the windowsill and I pulled him in. The other two climbed in after them. They sat down on the bed. I paced excitedly in front of them.
Terry and I went to the cave, I told them in a low voice. We saw the ghost. He was sitting in a black chamber filled with candles.
All three of them showed surprise on their faces.
He was very old and scary looking, I continued. He didn't talk. He kind of floated. Also, he didn't walk. He kind of floated. When he saw us, he started to chase us. I fell and he nearly grabbed me, but I got away.
Wow,
Sam muttered. The other two continued to stare in amazement. Then what? Nat asked.
Then we ran back here as fast as we could, I told him. That's it.
This is the worst voice I've done. I have no idea how it's supposed to be. They stared at me for a long moment. I tried to figure out what they were thinking. Did they believe me? Finally, Sam climbed off the bed and walked to the window.
We didn't want you to know about the ghost, he said softly, tossing his brown hair.
Why not?
I demanded. Sam hesitated.
We didn't want to scare you.
I let out a scornful laugh.
You scared Terry and me just about every time we saw you.
That was just for fun, Sam explained. But we knew if you found out about the ghost.
His voice trailed off.
Have you seen him too?
I asked, pulling my robe tighter around me. All three of them nodded. We stay away from there, Nat told me, scratching his arm. The ghost is too scary.
He's really, like, dangerous, Louisa revealed. I think he wants to, like, kill us all.
Her eyes locked on mine.
Even you and, like, Terry and you and Terry.
I shuddered.
Why? Terry and I didn't do anything to him.
It doesn't matter. Nobody's safe, Sam said softly, glancing nervously out the window. You saw the skeleton in the woods, right? That's what the ghost will do to you if he catches you.
I shuddered again. I was really scared now.
There's a way to get rid of the ghost, Louisa said, breaking into my troubled thoughts. She was nervously clasping and unclasping her hands in her lap.
My skin. Oh, fuck. Wow. Like Mr. Burns. Wow.
But we need your help, she continued. We can't do it without you and Terry.
I swallowed hard. What can Terry and I do? I asked like a little bitch.
Before she could answer, we heard creaking above our heads voices. Had we awakened Agatha and Brad, Louisa and her two brothers hurried to the window and lowered themselves to the ground. Meet us at the beach tomorrow morning, Sam instructed.
I stood at the window and watched them disappear into the woods. The room fell quiet again. The curtains fluttered gently. I stared into the gently swaying pine trees. Why would you use gently twice in two sentences? How can Terry and I help to get rid of an ancient ghost? I wondered. What can we do?
I woke up the next morning to the sound of rain. I jumped out of bed and ran to the window. The rain swirled in a gusting wind. In the garden, narrow rivulets of water had formed between the vegetable rows and trickled off into the yard. A thick fog had settled in the trees.
Do you believe this weather? Terry asked, coming into my room. I spun away from the window.
Terry, listen, I have something to tell you.
I told her about my late night talk with the three saddlers. When I finished, Terry stared out the window.
So what do we do now? How can we meet them on the beach if it's raining this hard?
We can't, I said. We have to wait till it stops.
I hate suspense, Terry moaned. She hurried back to her room to get dressed. She was not dressed during this little discourse here.
I pulled on my old faded jeans, torn at both knees in a gray sweatshirt, and hurried to join everyone for breakfast. Agatha cooked us up oatmeal with big lumps of brown sugar and butter on top.
Childhood diabetes.
After breakfast, Brad built a big cozy fire and Terry worked on our wildflower collection on the floor in front of the fireplace. While Terry glued dry flower samples onto sheets of cardboard, I sat around and waited for the rain to stop. Stupid rain! The sun didn't come out until after lunch. As soon as we could get away, Terry and I hurried to the beach. We waited there for nearly an hour. I practiced skipping stones, and Terry scrounged around for shells. No sign of Sam, Nat, or Louisa.
Now what?
I asked, kicking at a small rock. The whole day had been a big waste.
I bought my gravestone rubbing stuff, Terry replied. Let's go over to the cemetery.
We made our way to the small graveyard, climbing over the old stone wall, and took a good look around. The graves were so old, many of the gravestones had been knocked over or broken or covered with weeds.
420.
The forest had started taking over. A couple of the big trees had sprouted on top of graves, and one giant tree had crashed across the wall, knocking over several tombstones.
I'm going to look for something interesting by the big fallen tree, Terry announced.
Terry ran ahead, and I poked along at my own speed. The last time we were here, we stuck to the edge of the cemetery. Now I made my way into the middle. I started reading the names on the tombstones. The first one I stopped at read,
"Here lies the body of Martin Sadler."
Wow, my mind is going. I seriously was about to read, "Here lies the body of Martian soldier," which is just fucking badass.
That's strange, I thought. Another saddler. I remembered that Sam had told us saddler was a common name around here. Maybe this was the saddler family section or something. The gravestone next to Martin Sadler belonged to Mary Sadler, his wife. Then a couple of saddler kids, Sarah and Miles.
O'Brien.
I moved to the next row and continued reading the inscriptions. Another saddler. This one is named Peter. Beside Peter laid Miriam Sadler.
Whoa! I thought, starting to get the creeps.
Didn't anyone else die around here? I moved to another section.
All saddlers, too. Hiram, Margaret, Constance, Dune, Fred, Kelly, Sam, Nick, Alex, Charity.
Was this a whole cemetery of saddlers? Terry's scream cut through the air.
Cherry, come here!
I found her near the fallen pine tree. Her face was twisted in confusion.
Look,
she instructed, pointing at a cluster of gravestones at her feet. I lowered my glance to two large stones. Thomas Sadler died 1841, and Priscilla Sadler, wife of Thomas, died March 5th, 1641.
Yeah, I know, I told Terry. The whole cemetery is filled with saddlers. Creepy, huh?
No, no. Check out the kids' graves, Terry said impatiently. I saw three small identical stones lined up beside the parents. The three stones stood up straight. They were clean and easy to read, as if someone had been taking care of them. I hunched down to read the names. Sam Sadler, son of Thomas and Priscilla. I straightened back up.
So?
Read the next one, Terry instructed. I lowered myself again.
Louisa Sadler. Uh-oh,
I murmured, the same murmur I make when I make two in my pants.
I bet I can guess the last name.
I bet you can too, Terry replied in a trembling whisper. My eyes moved to the last marker.
Here lies Nat Sadler, who died in his fifth year of life.
Chapter 18, the 18th chapter in this book. The chapter number right now is 18. I'm scared of my voice going out. I stared at the three stones until they blurred before my eyes. Also, really quick, is this the worst goosebump so far? I feel like my commentary's off. It's like late and I'm tired. I don't know why I'm doing this. I mean, it's awesome, isn't it? You're right, confidence. Three stones, three kids, Sam, Louisa, and Nat, all dead in the early 1600s.
Well, I don't get it, I murmured.
I felt dizzy as I climbed to my feet.
I just don't get it.
We have to ask Brad and Agatha about this, Terry said. This is just too weird. We ran back to the cottage. I kept seeing those three stones as we ran. Sam, Louisa, and Nat. We found Brad and Agatha out back under the trees in their matching rocking chairs. Agatha laughed as we came running up to them, breathlessly.
You kids run everywhere, don't you? I wish I had your pep.
That's because we take Jet Fallout 3 style.
We were in the cemetery, I blurted out. We have to ask you something.
She raised her eyebrows. Oh, were you working on gravestone rubbings? We didn't get that far, Terry told her. We were reading the stones. They were all saddlers, all of them. Agatha's chair rocked back and forth steadily. She nodded, but didn't say anything.
You know, those kids we met on the beach? I broke in. Well, we found tombstones for Sam, Louisa, and Nat Sadler. They died in 1640-something, but those are the same names as the kids we met.
Agatha and Brad rocked in unison, back and forth, back and forth. Agatha smiled at me. Well, what's your question, Jer?
How come there are so many saddlers in that graveyard? I asked. And how come those stones have our friends' names on them?
Good questions, Brad muttered quietly.
Agatha smiled. It's nice to see you're both so observant. Sit down. It's sort of a long story. Terry and I dropped onto the grass.
Tell us,
I urged impatiently. Agatha took a deep breath and began.
Well,
in the winter of 1641, a large group of saddlers, practically the whole family, sailed from England and settled here. They were pilgrims who came to start a new life. She glanced at Brad, who continued to rock, staring out the shimmering trees, also at them. It was one of the worst winters in history, Agatha continued. And sadly, tragically really, the saddlers were unprepared for the cold. They died one by one and were buried in the little cemetery. By 1642, there were almost none left. Brad tisk-tisked and shook his head. Agatha rocked in a steady rhythm.
It's the final countdown.
Because, like, rocking is like, she's doing that in the chair, but I'm talking about, like, musically rocking. That's what I'm... you kids only know about Bieber.
Your friends, Sam, Nat, and Louisa, are your distant cousins, like Brad and me. They were named for their ancestors, the children buried in the cemetery. We were named for our ancestors, too. You'll find gravestones for Agatha and Bradford Sandler in the cemetery, too.
We will?
Terry cried. Agatha nodded solemnly. That's right, but your cousin and I aren't quite ready for the boneyard.
Yet, are we, Brad? Brad shook his head. No, ma'am, he replied, grinning.
Terry and I laughed. Relieved laughter. I was so glad there was a good explanation for what we had seen. I suddenly felt tempted to tell Brad and Agatha about the ghost in the cave, but Terry started talking about wildflowers, and I settled onto the grass and kept my thoughts to myself. We finally ran into Sam, Louisa, and Nat on the beach the next morning.
Where were are you guys?
I asked.
We waited for you all afternoon.
Hey, give us a break, Sam protested. It was raining. We weren't allowed outside.
"We were at the little graveyard yesterday," Terry told them. "We saw three old gravestones with your names on them." Sam and Louisa exchanged glances.
"Those are our ancestors," Sam said. "We were named after them."
"Jerry said you have a plan to get rid of the ghost," Terry broke in. "My sister always likes to get down to business."
"Hell!" "Gross." "We do," Sam said, his expression turned serious. "Come with us."
He began walking quickly over the pebbly sand toward the cave. I hurried to catch up.
"Whoa, where are we going? I'm not climbing back inside that cave again. No way, Jose," I cried.
"Me either," Terry agreed. Being chased once by a ghost was enough for me. Sam's hazel eyes locked on mine. "You don't have to go into the cave again. I promise. He led us to the rocks below the cave. I gazed up, shielding my eyes against the bright sunlight. The cave looked a little less frightening in the daytime. The smooth white stone gleamed. The dark entrance didn't seem as deep and forbidding. I guess it is forbidding here. Sam pointed up at the mouth.
"See all those big rocks piled on top of the cave?"
I squinted.
"What about them?" "All you have to do is climb up there and push those fucking rocks down. The rocks will cover the mouth of the cave and the old ghost will be trapped inside forever until some youths go down there looking for One Eye Willie's map and then they pull everything apart and then it turns out the old man is in an old pirate ship and they don't want to steal his gold, especially the gold under his eye patch and then the goonies too and then for some reason Corey Haim died because he's horrible at life."
Terry and I stared at the enormous white rocks. Each one must have weighed about 200 pounds.
"You're fucking kidding, right?"
I said. Louisa shook her head.
"We're very serious."
"Seriously?" she murmured.
"We cover the mouth of the cave with rocks?" I repeated, staring up at it.
The dark hole seemed to stare back at me like a giant black butthole.
And that will keep the ghost inside? What will stop him from floating out? He's a ghost, remember? He can float right through the rocks."
"No, he can't," Louisa explained. "The old legends say that the cave is a sanctuary, and that means if something evil gets trapped inside it, it can't escape through the ancient rocks, and the ghost will be trapped inside forever." Terry frowned. "So why didn't you ever go up and push down the rocks?"
"We were too scared," Nat blurted out.
"If we mess up, the ghost could come after us," Sam said. I always confuse Sam and Nat. Why are they both three-letter names?
"We live here, and we couldn't find our house and get revenge."
"We've been waiting for, like, outsiders to come and help us," Louisa added, gazing at me with pleading eyes. "We've been waiting for someone we could trust."
"But what about us?" I demanded. "If we try to trap the ghost tonight and mess up, won't he come out looking for us?"
"We won't mess up," Sam replied solemnly. "We'll all work together. If the ghost comes out, Nat, Louisa, and I will distract him. We won't let him see that you're up on top."
"Will you, like, help us? Please," Louisa begged. "Our whole lives, the old ghost has, like, terrified us." "You would make everyone around here happy if you agreed to help trap him," Sam added. I hesitated. So many things could go wrong. What if rocks wouldn't budge? What if the ghost floated out and found Terry and me up there? What if one of us slipped and fell on top of the cave? No, I decided, no way, we can't do it. It's just too risky. I turned to tell them my decision.
"Of course we'll help you," I heard Terry say.
Heyo, it is now June 1st. I'm afraid that the first half of this one may be the worst recording I've done so far. I'm too scared to go back and listen, and I'm much too lazy to actually go back and re-record. So if it sucks, it sucks, but I suck, so fuck it. Once again, I'm drinking one of those vodka and sparkly fruity deals, and
chapter 19 of Ghost Beach on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
We spent the afternoon picking blueberries with Agatha. Then we made blueberry ice cream using an old-fashioned churn. It tasted better than any ice cream I'd ever eaten. Agatha said it was because we picked the blueberries ourselves. As it got closer to supper time, I started feeling more and more frightened. Were we really going to try to trap that ghost tonight? Dinner time finally came. I hardly ate anything. When Agatha stared at me, I explained I'd filled up on ice cream. After dinner, Terry and I helped Agatha with the dishes. Then, Brad insisted on showing me how to tie sailor knots. That's
That's useful for a stupid loser kid like you who needs to know how to make nooses and kill yourself because of your stupid annoying voice that I probably can't figure out how to do again right away, so give me some time, goddammit. By this time, my stomach felt more knotted up than Brad's rope. Finally, Terry and I said we are going to the beach to get some fresh air, and we hurried out to meet our three friends. It was a clear, cloudless night. Thousands of stars twinkled overhead. A heavy dew was falling. The full moon made it easy to see without a flashlight. Terry and I padded in silence along the path down to the beach. Neither of us felt like talking. I kept thinking about Mom and Dad's warning to me before we left home to keep Terry from getting in trouble. Well, we're in trouble now, I thought grimly. Deep trouble. Both of us. Maybe all five of us. I just got a text message from Fred that I will check at the end of this chapter. Sam, Luisa, and Nat stood waiting at the edge of the shore. The moonlight made the dark water sparkle. I suddenly wished it weren't so bright out. What were we going to do? God damn it, what we were about to do needed darkness. The knots in my stomach seemed to tighten as I greeted our three friends. Sam raised a finger to his lips and motioned like he was blowing a dude. Totally uncalled for. Also, he motioned for us to follow him. Silently, we picked our way across the rocks to the base of the cave.
Hey, look!
I whispered. Staring up at the cave, the light flickered brightly in the entrance. The ghost was home.
Guess it wasn't ghost date night. I guess it wasn't ghost date night.
I stared up at the cave and planned our route. We'd go up the same way we had the other night, but instead of entering the cave, we'd be climbing around the side until we reached the top. Terry fidgeted beside me.
Ready?
Ready?
I whispered. She nodded grimly.
We'll wait down here, Sam whispered. If the ghost comes out, we'll be ready to distract him. Good luck.
The three of us huddled together. Their expressions were tense. Also, the three of them huddled together. Their expressions were tense. Frightened, Nat gripped Luisa's hand.
Bye, Terry,
he said in a tiny voice. I think he had a little crush on her.
See you in a few minutes, Terry whispered back to him. Don't worry, Nat. We'll get rid of that bad ghost. Come on, Jerry. My
legs felt rubbery as Terry and I made our way over the rocks. We climbed steadily, carefully. I glanced back at Terry. A few feet behind me, she was breathing hard, her eyes narrowed in concentration. We reached the mouth of the cave. The light inside shone brightly. I pointed to our right. Terry nodded. She followed me up the rocks on the side of the cave. The rocks were damp from the evening dew and slippery. We were hunched on all fours as we climbed. It was steeper than I thought. I struggled to keep from trembling. I knew that one slip could cause a rock slide. The ghosts would know something was up. Hand over hand we climbed. Carefully. Steadily. I stopped to catch my breath and gazed down the beach. Our three friends hadn't moved. Holding onto a rock with one hand, I waved to them with my other. Nat waved back. The other two remained still, staring up at Terry and me. I reached the smooth rock surface at the top of the cave. Turning, I held out my hand and helped Terry up the narrow ledge. Together, we checked out the situation. The rocks were supposed to roll over the mouth of the cave. The rocks we were supposed to roll over the mouth of the cave weren't as big as I'd thought. They were piled over in a solid wall. It didn't seem that difficult to get behind them and push them over. As I started to move behind the rock wall, I caught a glimpse of our three friends down below. To my surprise, Sam was waving his arms and jumping up and down. Luis and Nat were also motioning frantically.
What's wrong? Terry cried. Why are they doing that?
They're trying to tell us something, I replied,
feeling a chill of terror freeze every muscle. Had the ghost appeared in the cave mouth where Terry and I caught already? I took a deep breath and ignored my fear, leaning over the edge to peer down over the mouth of the cave. No one there.
Jerry, stand up, Terry cried. You'll fall.
I stood back up and peered down at the three kids.
Hey,
I cried out as I saw them running to the woods. A stab of terror made me gasp.
Something's gone wrong, I croaked. Let's get out of here.
I turned in time to see the ghost step up behind us. His entire body shimmered, pale in the bright moonlight. His vacant, sunken eyes glared angrily at us. He grabbed me by the shoulders, wrapped his other bony hand around Terry's waist.
Come with me,
he said in a dry whisper, a whisper of doom.
Chapter 20.
He dragged us down to the cave entrance. He's so strong, I thought. So strong for someone old and frail looking. The rock slid under my feet, a gray blur. The ground appeared to tilt and sway. Long shadows seemed to reach out to me to pull me down. I tried to cry out, but my breath caught my throat. I tried to jerk free of his grasp, but he was too strong for me. Terry uttered loud, sobbing gasps. She thrashed her arms, struggling to free herself, but the old ghost held her tightly. Before I knew it, we were stumbling through the dark, twisted tunnels, the flickering candlelight, because it's a candle, grew brighter up ahead. We were too frightened to find him, too frightened to break away. My shoulder scraped against the narrow tunnel wall. Terror tightened my throat. I couldn't even cry out from the pain. The ghost released us as we reached the candlelit chamber. Glaring at us sternly, he motioned with a bony finger for us to follow him to his driftwood table.
What are you going to do to us?
Terry managed to choke out. He didn't reply. He brushed the long, stringy white hair from over his face. Then he motioned for us to sit down on the floor. I dropped down quickly. My legs were shaking so hard I was grateful not to have to stand. I glanced at my sister. Her lower lip was trembling. Her eyes, her hands were come on, dude, you can do this. I know you're trembling as well. Her hands were clasped tightly in her lap. The old ghost cleared his throat. He leaned heavily against the crude table.
You are both in serious trouble, he said in a thin, reedy voice.
We didn't mean to do any harm, I blurted out.
It is dangerous to get involved with ghosts,
he said, ignoring my words.
We'll go away, I offered desperately. We'll never come back.
We didn't mean to disturb you, Terry added in a shrill voice. His sunken eyes suddenly widened in surprise.
Me?
A strange smile played across his face.
We won't tell anyone we saw you,
I told him. His smile grew wider.
Me?
He repeated. He leaned forward on the large chunk of driftwood.
I'm not a ghost, he cried. Your three friends are.
Chapter 21. This 21 chapter. 21 chapter. Chapter 21. Yeah.
Huh?
I gaped at the old ghost in disbelief. His smile faded.
I'm telling you the truth,
he said softly, rubbing his pale cheek with a bony hand.
You're trying to trick us, Terry replied. Those three kids.
They're not kids, the old man interrupted sharply. They're over 350 years old.
Terry and I exchanged glances. What? The blood was pounding so hard at my temples I could barely think clearly.
Allow me to introduce myself,
the old man said, lowering himself onto the table edge. His lined face flickered in the shifting candlelight.
I'm Harrison Sadler.
Another Sadler,
I blurted out.
We're Sadlers too, Terry cried.
I know, he said softly. He coughed, a dry hacking cough. I came here from England quite a while ago, he told us.
In 1641?
I demanded. He is a ghost, I realized. With a shudder, my question seemed to amuse him.
I haven't been here that long, he replied dryly. After college, I traced my ancestors here. I studied ghosts and the occult, he sighed.
Clearly an old man virgin.
It turned out there was plenty to study here.
I stared hard at him, studying him. Could he possibly be telling the truth? Was he human, not a ghost?
Or was this an evil trick? His black, sunken eyes didn't reveal anything to me.
"Why did you drag us in here?"
I demanded, climbing to my knees.
"To warn you," Harrison Sadler replied. "To warn you about the ghosts. You are in great danger here. I have studied them. I've seen their evil."
Terry let out a low cry. I couldn't tell if she believed the old man or not. I realized that I didn't believe him at all. His story didn't make any sense. I climbed to my feet.
If you're a scientist studying the occult, I said, why are you shut up here in this weird cave?
Nice sleuth work there. He slowly raised his hand in motion towards the shadowy ceiling.
This cave is a sanctuary, he murmured.
Sanctuary? That was the word that Sam had used.
Once inside this cave, Harrison explained, ghosts cannot escape through the rocks.
So this means that you're trapped in here,
I insisted. His eyes narrowed at me.
What are you, retarded?
Oh, sorry, no, that's not what he said at all. He said,
my plan is to escape.
No, that's not his plan either. I apologize once again.
My plan is to trap the ghosts in here, he replied softly. That is why I stacked the rocks above the entrance. I hope someday to trap them in here forever.
I turned to my sister. She glared thoughtfully at Harrison.
But why are you living here?
I demanded.
I'm safe here, he replied. The sanctuary keeps me safe. The ghosts cannot surprise me by climbing through the rocks. Didn't you wonder why they sent you up here instead of coming themselves?
They sent us up here because they're terrified of you, I shouted, forgetting my fear. They sent us up here because you're the ghost.
His expression changed. He pushed himself away from the driftwood table and moved quickly toward Terry and me. His deep, sunken eyes glowed like dark coals.
What are you gonna do?
I cried. Aww. Scarlet the cat asked to come in now. She was meowing at the door. Anyway, chapter 22. Harrison took another menacing step toward us.
You don't believe me, do you? He accused.
Terry and I were too frightened to answer.
Oh, what are you gonna do?
I repeated, my voice tiny and shrill. Harrison's voice kills my own. I maybe need to change it up to something so I don't have to drink every time.
He glared at us for a long moment, the candlelight flickering over his pale face.
I'm gonna let you go.
See, that doesn't hurt me, but it completely ruins the character.
Wake and bake.
Oh, sorry. He said finally.
Terry and I let out a cry of surprise. I edged back toward the tunnel.
I'm gonna let you go,
Harrison Sadler repeated,
so that you can examine the east corner of the old graveyard.
He waved a bony hand.
Go now to the graveyard.
You're really letting us go?
I stammered.
Only once you've seen the east corner, you'll come back,
Harrison replied mysteriously.
You'll come back now, you hear?
I added the you hear because now he's for some reason Uncle Remus.
No way, I thought. My heart was pounding. No way I'll ever come near this frightening cave again.
Go,
the old ghost cried. Terry and I spun around and scrambled out of his chamber. Neither of us looked back. As we hurried out of the cave and down the rocks, I couldn't get Harrison's face out of my mind. I kept picturing his glowing evil eyes, his long stringy hair, his yellow teeth. When he flashed us that eerie smile, with a shudder, I remember the inhuman strength of his grip as he dragged Terry and me into his chamber. I also couldn't stop thinking about Sam, Louisa, and Nat. There was no way they were ghosts. They were our They were our friends. They had tried to warn Terry and me that the ghost was sneaking up behind us. They said that they'd been terrified of Harrison their whole lives. And I remember Nat's sad face as he told us how much he was scared of ghosts. Harrison Sadler is a liar, I thought bitterly. A 350-year-old ghost of a motherfucking liar. Down at the beach, Terry and I stopped to catch our breath.
He's so scary, Terry gasped.
I couldn't believe you let us go,
I replied, bending over, pressing my hands against my knees, waiting for the sharp pain in my side to fade. I searched for our three friends, but they were nowhere to be seen.
Are we gonna go to the graveyard?
I asked. I know what he wants us to see, Terry replied, gazing back up at the dark cave. I know why he wants us to check out the east corner. That's where we found the gravestones for Louisa, Nat, and Sam.
Yeah, so?
Harrison is just trying to scare us. He thinks that if we see the old graves, it will prove to us that Louisa, Nat, and Sam are ghosts.
But we already know the truth about those old graves, I said.
We stepped off the beach and into the trees. The air grew colder. Moonlight trickling through the branches overhead made strange shadows stretch across our path. We reached the cemetery entrance and stopped.
Might as well check it out, Terry murmured. I followed her through the graveyard, stepping over footstones.
What's a footstone?
And loose brush as we made our way to the east corner. A pale beam of moonlight played over the three Sadler kids' graves.
See anything strange?
Terry whispered. My eyes roamed the area.
Nope!
We stepped up to the Sadler kids' graves.
These look the same as yesterday, I said. Neat! Square! Whoa!
Something caught my eye in the corner.
What's your problem?
Terry demanded. My eyes struggled to see the pale light.
I think there's something.
Huh? Do you see something?
Terry cried.
Some fresh dirt, I said, in the corner. On the other side of that fallen tree, it looks like a fresh grave.
No way, said Terry. I've checked out all these gravestones. You know, because coincidentally for the whole story, my fucking hobby is the only 10-year-old girl in the world, or whatever age I am, that likes to make rubbings of gravestones, because that's what people apparently do in the R.L. Stein crazy, wacky, kooky universe. Yeah.
Anyway, I've checked all these gravestones. No one's been buried in here for the last 50 years. We took a couple of steps towards the fallen tree.
Jerry, you're right. It is a grave, Terry whispered. A fresh grave.
We stepped over the fallen tree trunk, keeping close together. A narrow shaft of moonlight lit up a freshly dug grave.
It's two graves, I gasped. Two fresh graves with little markers on them.
I squatted down to read them. Terry moved behind me.
What do they say, Jerry?
My mouth went dry. I couldn't answer her.
Jerry, can you read them?
Yes,
I finally choked out.
It's us, Terry. The names on these markers read Jerry Sadler and Terry Sadler.
When did his voice turn into like It's Pat?
All right, sorry. Chapter 23.
Oh, the cat is rubbing against my leg. That is adorable. And she's purring and, oh, that's just cute.
Well, what does this mean?
I stammered.
Who dug these graves? Terry asked. Who put up these markers?
Let's get out of here, I urged, grabbing her arm. Let's go tell Agatha and Brad.
Terry hesitated.
We have to, I insisted. We have to tell them everything. We should have told them a long time ago.
Okay, Terry agreed. I turned to leave and gasped when I saw the three figures staring at us from the shadows. Sam stepped quickly over the fallen tree.
Where are you going?
He asked. What are you doing here?
Ah, God, those voices in my throat. Remember when I used to like edit these and make it so like when I stopped for a second and screwed something up or made a comment, I'd actually edit it out. Now the cuts are just when I finish a chapter and want to alt tab over and check out what's going on in Facebook and Reddit, I guess. Anyway, horrible.
Louisa and Nat followed close behind him.
We're going back to the cottage, I told them. It's late and...
Did he kill a ghost?
Nat demanded. His eyes peered up at me hopefully. I patted his hair. It felt real. His head was warm. He didn't feel like ghost-like at all. He was a real little boy.
I know. I felt a lot of real boys.
Harrison Sadler is a total liar, I thought.
Did he kill the old ghost?
Nat repeated eagerly.
No, we couldn't, I told him.
Nat let out a disappointed sigh.
Then how'd you get away?
Sam demanded suspiciously.
We ran away, Terry told him.
It was almost the truth.
Where were you guys?
I demanded.
Yeah, you didn't do a very good job of distracting him, Terry added sharply.
We, like,
We tried to warn you. Like, we were, like, texting you, and, like, I sent an emoticon and shit. Did you get my emoticon? Louisa replied, tugging nervously at the strand of long auburn hair. Then we got scared, and we ran into the woods and hid.
When we didn't hear the rocks fall, we got even more scared,
Sam added.
We were afraid the ghost got you. We were afraid we would never see you again. Nat uttered a frightened sob and took Louisa's hand.
We have to kill the ghost, the little guy whimpered. We have to.
Sam and Louisa tried to comfort their little brother. I gazed down the two fresh graves. A cool wind made the trees whisper and shake and rattle and roll. I started to ask Sam about the two graves, but he spoke before I had a chance.
Let's try again,
he said, staring hard at Terry, then me, with pleading eyes. Louisa rested her hands on Nat's tiny shoulders.
Yes, she agreed softly. Let's go back and try again. No way, I cried. Terry and I got away from there once. I'm not going back, but it's the perfect time, Louisa insisted. He'll never expect you to come back tonight. We'll catch him completely off guard. It will be totally surprising. Please,
Nat begged in a tiny voice. I opened my mouth, but no sound came out. I couldn't believe they were asking us to do this. Terry and I had risked our lives by climbing up there. We couldn't have been killed. We could have been killed by that lying old ghost. We could look like that horrible dog skeleton right now. And here they were, asking us to climb right back up there and try it again. It was redonkulous.
No way I would agree to it. No way.
Okay, I heard my sister say, we'll do it. Louisa and her brothers burst into happy cheers. Terry and I. Terry had done it to me again. Sorry, no Terry and I. Let's just hit that again because it's the end of the chapter. Terry. Wow, I fucked it up twice. Calm down, Dune. Drink your medicine. Let's get this one line out. So let's gurgle, too. It'll make the throat sound better. Terry had done it to me again. Nice job, Dune. No wonder you get paid absolutely nothing to do this.
Chapter 24. Terry led the way to the beach. I scrambled to catch up with her. The three saddlers, talking excitedly amongst themselves, trailed behind. The night suddenly seemed darker, as if someone had dimmed the lights. Who turned out the lights?
Like the Ninja Turtles video game when you fall down the sewers? Which game is that? That's the second one, right? The good one? Ninja Turtles, the arcade game?
I raised my eyes, searching for the full moon, but it had disappeared behind some heavy clouds. I felt a large raindrop on my shoulder, then another on the top of my head. The wind picked up as we neared the ocean.
Are you totally crazy?
I whispered to my sister as we made our way over the pebbly sand toward the beach. How could you agree to do this?
We have to solve the mystery, Terry replied, glancing up at the cave. It sat darkly above the rocks, no flickering light, no sign of the old ghost.
This isn't one of your dumb mystery books, I told her angrily. This is real life. R.L. Stein. We could be in terrible danger.
We already are, she repeated mysteriously. She said something else, but the strong wind off the ocean carried her words away. The raindrops started to come down faster, larger, heavier drops.
Stop, Terry, I demanded. Let's turn back. Let's tell the kids we changed our minds.
She shook her head.
Let's at least go back to the cottage and tell Agatha and Brad, I pleaded. We could trap the ghost tomorrow, during the day, maybe.
Terry kept walking. She picked up the pace. We have to solve the mystery, Jerry, she said. Those two fresh graves, they really scared me. I have to find the truth.
But Terry, the truth is we might get killed,
I cried. She didn't seem to hear me. I brushed raindrops from my eyebrows. The gusting winds were swirling the rain around us. The rain pattered against the rocks, sounding like sharp drum beats. Boom, cack, boom, cack. Yo, what up, motherfucker? Oh, I was gonna
I don't know what I was going to do, really. Let's just trudge forward as we always do.
We stopped at the bottom of the rocks. Up above, the cave stood over us, still completely dark.
"We'll wait down here," Sam said. His eyes kept darting up to the cave. I could tell he was really frightened. "This time we'll do a better job of distracting the ghost if he comes out."
"He better not come out,"
I muttered, lowering my head against the falling rain. A jagged bolt of white lightning cracked against the sky. I shivered.
"Come up with us," Terry told the three of them. "You can help us. You can't help us way down here."
They hung back. I could see the fear on their faces.
"Come up to the cave entrance," Terry urged. "You can always run down the rocks if the ghost appears."
Louisa shook her head.
"We're like way too fucking afraid, okay?"
she confessed.
"We need your help," Terry insisted. "We don't want the ghost to know we're on top of the cave. Come, stand on the ledge in front of the cave. Then..."
"No, he'll hurt us. He'll eat us up," Nat cried.
"Jerry and I can't go up there again unless you come with us," Terry insisted firmly.
Louisa and Sam exchanged frightened glances. Nat clung to Louisa, trembling. The rain swept down harder. Finally, Sam nodded.
"Okay, we'll wait for you at the cave mouth."
"We don't mean to be so frightened," Louisa added. "It's just that we've been afraid of him our whole lives. He?
Her voice trailed off. We turned and started our climb. It was much harder this time. It was so much darker without the moon. Rain kept blowing into our eyes and the rocks were slippery and wet, like the Bon Jovi album. I stumbled twice. Also, I hate Bon Jovi. Fell forward. No, seriously, I hate Bon Jovi. Scraping my knees and elbows. Fuck Bon Jovi. The wet rocks kept sliding under my sneakers, rolling down the beach. Another jagged bolt of lightning stretched across the sky. There's no R in sky. Stretched across the sky, making the cave glow white above us. We stopped at the ledge in front of the dark cave mouth, my entire body trembling from the rain, from the cold, from fear.
"Have another beer with fear."
"Let's just warm up inside for a moment," Terry suggested. The three saddlers clung together.
No, we can't. We're too scared,"
Louisa replied. Her voice is slowly turning into the whistle.
"Polly Shore, his career's going well."
"Just for a second," Terry insisted. "Just wipe the rain off her eyes. Look, it's coming down in sheets." She practically shoved Louisa and her brothers into the cave. Nat began to cry. He held on tightly to his sister. A roar of thunder made us all jump, jump, jump.
"Mac Daddy make you jump. Jump, Daddy Mac gon' make ya."
"This is the dumbest thing I've ever done," I thought, shivering. "I will never forgive Terry for this, never!" And then a yellow light flared in front of us at the mouth of the cave, and under the yellow light, the old ghost flickered into view. He carried a flaming torch in one hand. A strange smile played over his pale face.
"Well, well," he uttered in a voice just loud enough to hear over the rain. "Here we all are."
Chapter 25. Oh God, I'm going to be 25 in a month and a half. What am I doing with my life? I have no money and I'm recording young adults audiobooks with commentary and dick jokes. Oh God, where did I go wrong? Well, maybe when I dropped out of college to be a rapper, that probably wasn't a great decision. And the alcohol abuse. And oh God. Oh, Dune, come on.
Just kidding, I'm fucking awesome.
No!
Nat let out a terrified wail and tried to bury his head in his sister's wet t-shirt.
Heyo! wet t-shirt sisters like Cabo San Lucas. High five. I'm by myself, except for the cat that's curled up at my feet. Oh my God, she's cute.
Sam and Louisa froze like statues. The flickering light of the torch revealed expressions of horror in their faces. Harrison Sadler stood in the cave entrance, blocking our escape. His dark, sunken eyes peered from one of us to the next. Behind him, the rain crashed down, glowing eerily from flashes of bright lightning. He turned his attention to Terry and me.
"You brought the ghost to me," he said.
"You're the ghost,"
Sam replied. Nat wailed, his arms wrapped tightly around Louisa's waist.
"You have terrified people long enough,"
the old man told the three trembling kids.
"More than 300 years. It's time for you to leave this place. Time for you to rest."
"He's
crazy, Louisa cried. Don't, like, listen to him. Close your ears, like, la 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 la. I'm not interested in listening to you talk to the hand.
Don't let him fool you, Sam added with emotion. Look at him. Look at his eyes. Look where he lives, all alone in this dark cave. He's 300-year-old ghost. He's lying to you.
Don't hurt us, Nat wailed, clinging to Louisa. Louisa? Wow, that was strange.
Please don't hurt us. The rain suddenly slowed. Water splattered off the rocks outside and dripped steadily from the top of the cave. Thunder rumbled, but in the distance, the storm was moving to sea. I turned and caught the strangest expression on my sister's face. To my surprise, Terry was actually smiling. She caught me staring at her. The solution, she whispered, and I suddenly realized why she agreed to come back to this frightening cave to face this frightening old man. Terry wanted to solve the mystery. She needed to solve it. Who was the ghost? Was it Harrison Sadler? Or was Harrison telling the truth? Were our three friends the ghosts? My sister is really crazy, I thought, shaking my head. She risked our lives because she had to solve the mystery. Let us go, Sam told the old man, breaking into my thoughts.
Okay, that's actually what it says.
Let us go, and we won't tell anyone we saw a ghost.
The torchlight dipped low as a strong gust of wind invaded the cave. Harrison's eyes seemed to grow darker.
I've waited too long to get you here, he said quietly.
Louisa suddenly reached out to Terry.
Like, help us, she cried. You, like, believe us, don't you?
You know we're alive, not ghosts, Sam said to me. Help us get away from him. He's evil, Jerry. We've seen his evil our whole lives.
I turned from Harrison to the three kids. Who was telling the truth? Who was alive? And who had been dead for over 300 years? Find out now in part 3 of Ghost Beach on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
No, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. That would have been like a dick move, you know? I don't do things like that. I keep it real, you know? Do parts for each book. And then when I do the occasional, you know, give yourself goosebumps, that's one part, you know? And you're choosing it, so that's cool. I wouldn't do that to you. I'm hecka sick, you know? Hecka tight, getting 420 on the reg and shit. You know what I'm saying? Give me some nucks.
Harrison's face hovered darkly in the dipping, waving torchlight. He pushed his long, stringy hair off his forehead with his free hand. And then he startled us by puckering his dry lips and letting out a long, high-pitched whistle. My heart skipped a beat. I gasped. What the fuck was he doing? Why was he making that shrill sound? He stopped, then whistled again.
Hear that whistle? That was me.
I heard the scraping of footsteps, rapid footsteps in the stone cave floor, and then a low, dark figure came loping toward us out of the darkness.
Chapter 26! Oh god, only 26 in a year and a month and a half a month and some stuff. And
oh god, I can't even complain about that.
A monster! I thought a ghost monster! That's the fucking worst kind of monster!
It uttered a low, menacing growl as it neared. Its head bobbed low, and two red eyes flared as the creature bounded into the light of the flaming torch.
Oh!
I cried out as I saw that it was a dog. A long, lean, German shepherd. The dog stopped a few feet in front of us. When it saw Harrison, it bared its teeth. Its growl became a ferocious snarl. Dogs can recognize ghosts, I remember. Dogs can recognize ghosts. The dog's red eyes caught the light of the torch as it turned to Louisa and her two brothers. It reared back on its hind legs and began to howl and bark.
They're the ghosts,
Harrison Sadler cried triumphantly, most triumphant, to Terry and me, pointing. Snarling, the big dog leapt at Sam. With a cry of fright, Sam raised both arms to shield himself. The three kids edged deeper into the cave. The dog barked fiercely, baring its jagged teeth.
You really are ghosts,
I cried out. Louisa let out a pained sigh.
We never, like, had a chance to live, she cried. The first winter, it was horrible. It was like wearing Uggs with
tights, but like wearing them in June. You can't wear Uggs and tights and jumps you wear in November. Tears rolled down her cheeks. I saw that Nat was crying too. The dog continued to snarl and rage. Total rager. The three kids backed farther into the dark chamber. We sailed here with our parents to start a new life, Sam explained in a trembling voice. But we all died in the cold. It wasn't fair. It just wasn't fucking fair. The rain started up again. The wind blew sheets of water into the cave entrance. The torch flame dipped and nearly blew out. We never had a chance to at life at all. We never had a chance at life at all, Louisa cried, correcting herself when she stumbled in. Clearly it was written in the book and Dune didn't do it because he's a fucking genius. Thunder roared. The cave seemed to shake. The dog growled and snarled. And as I stared at the three kids in the wavering light, they began to change. Their hair dropped off first. It fell out in clumps on the cave floor, and then their skin peeled away, curled up and fell, falling off. Clearly, R.L. Stine had seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, until three grinning skulls stared at Terry and me through empty eye sockets. Oh, no! Come stay with us, cousins! Louisa's skull whispered. Her bony fingers reached out to us. Join us! Sam hissed. His fleshless jaw slid up and down. We dug such nice graves for you, so close to ours. Play with me. Nat's skull pleaded. Stay and play with me. I don't want you to go. Ever. The three ghosts moved toward us, their skeleton hands outstretched, reaching for Terry and me. I gasped and stumbled back. I saw a frightening Harrison staggered back, too. And then the torch blew out.
Chapter 27.
The torchlight flickered and died. The heavy darkness made me gasp. I could feel bodies moving, scraping over the wet stone cave floor. I could hear the whispering pleas of the three ghosts. Closer, closer. And then a cold hand gripped mine. I screamed before I heard her voice whisper, Jerry, run, Terry. Before I could catch my breath, my sister was pulling me through the darkness into the rain, onto the slippery rock ledge. Run, run, Terry cried, her eyes wild, her cold hand still gripping mine. Run, run. The word became a desperate chant. Run, run. But as we struggled to lower ourselves down to the rocks, the roar of thunder drowned out Terry's shouts. The ground shook. My legs nearly slid out from under me. I cried out when I realized the roar in my ears wasn't thunder. Half blinded by the rain, Terry and I spun around in time to see the rocks topple from the top of the cave. The rain and wind must have loosened them, and now the big boulders rumbled down, cracking, knocking against each other, bumping and rolling. Rock after rock thudding onto the stone ledge until the dark cave mouth was completely covered. Shielding my eyes from the rain with both hands, I peered out the cave and waited to see if anyone would come out, but no one did. No ghostly kids, no old man. Harrison Sadler had given his life to capture the ghosts. The cave glimmered white in a flash of lightning. Now it was my turn to pull Terry away.
Let's go,
I pleaded, but she didn't budge. She stood staring through the rain at the closed up cave.
Terry, please, let's go. It's over,
I said, tugging her away.
The mystery is solved. The terror. It's all over.
That was a short one. Chapter 28. A few minutes later, Agatha threw open the front door and rushed out to greet us. Where were you? Brad and I were worried sick. She ushered us in, fussing over us, shaking her head, talking excitedly, glad we were back, safe and sound. Terry and I got dried off and into clean clothes. Come on, Dune, you gotta keep it together. It's not much more. The rain had stopped by the time we joined Brad and Agatha in the kitchen for steaming mugs of hot cider. Outside the kitchen window, the wind still blew in the trees, sending water cascading down from the leaves.
Now tell us what happened to you,
Brad said, sounding almost exactly like the old man in the cave.
Agatha and I were really terribly upset that you were out in the storm.
It's kind of a long story,
I told them, warming my hands on the hot cider mug.
I don't know where to start.
Start at the beginning, Brad said quietly. That's usually the best place.
Terry and I did our best to tell the whole story about the three ghostly kids, the old man in the frightening cave. As we talked, I could see their expressions changing. I could see how worried they were for Terry and me, and I could see how unhappy they were that we had ignored their wishes and ventured into the cave. When I finished the story, the room grew quiet. Brad stared out the window at the dripping rainwater on the glass. Agatha cleared her throat. We didn't really speak. We're really sorry, Terry said, breaking the silence. I hope you're not angry at us. The important thing is that you're both safe and sound, Agatha replied, once again sounding exactly like Dune. She stood up, stepped over to Terry, and gave her a warm hug. Agatha started toward me, her arms outstretched, when a sound outside made her stop. Barking. Loud. Dog barking. When you say barking, that verb pretty much only applies to dogs. You don't have to explain that it's dog barking, Mr. Stein. Terry lunged for the back door and pulled it open.
Jerry, look, she cried. It's Harrison Sadler's dog. He got out of the cave. He must have followed us here.
I moved to open the doorway. The dog had been drenched in the rain. Its wet gray fur was matted to its back. Terry and I reached out to pet the dog, but to our surprise, it reared back and growled.
Easy, boy, I said. You must be really frightened, huh?
The dog snarled at me and started to bark. Terry bent down and tried to soothe the animal, but it backed away from her, barking ferociously.
I cried. I'm your friend, remember? I'm no ghost.
Terry turned to me, her expression puzzled. You're right. We're not ghosts. Why is it carrying on like that?
I shrugged. Whoa! Easy, boy! Easy!
The dog ignored my pleas, barking and howling. I turned back to see Brad and Agatha huddled against the kitchen wall, their faces tight with fear.
That's only Brad and Agatha, I told the dog. They're nice people. They won't hurt you.
And then I swallowed hard. My heart began to throb. I realized why the dog was barking like that. He was barking at Brad and Agatha. Agatha stepped into the doorway, shaking her finger at the snarling animal. Bad dog, she cried. Bad dog. Now I gotta check and see if Franklin's feelings are hurt. Now you've given away our secret, too. Terry gasped. She realized what Agatha was saying. Agatha slammed the kitchen door hard and turned back to Brad. What a pity that dog had to show up, she said, shaking her head fretfully. Now what do we do with these two kids, Brad? What do we do with the kids? The end of Ghost Beach on Dune Reads Goosebumps, once again by the great, sure, I give him a lot of shit, but the fucking great R.L. Stein. As much as I'm giving praise to the author on this one, I feel like you're really phoning it in there, R.L. This one's kind of so-so, you know? You know, the last one was really good, you know, with the horror land and stuff, and then now this one's just kind of you know. I'm sorry if I disappointed the listeners, you know. I'm sure you didn't stick around if you weren't into it, but that's the end of that one. I'll try to keep them up now. Like I said, I have a new place. It's much nicer. I have room to record without bothering anyone. It should go well from here on out. Smooth sailing. That being said, I probably won't get another one up for a fucking month. Once again, if you have any questions, you can hit up Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com. And aside from that, you know, stay spooky, bitches!